This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Download it. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and air conditioning company of the Junkies. Congratulations to AJ in Vienna. He scored tickets to Caps Game 1 against the Hurricanes here, of course, in Round 2 of the NHL playoffs. AJ in Vienna, congratulations. We will give away more tickets later this hour.
That's what we
do. So stay tuned.
How happy was AJ from Vienna, Travi? Oh.
Sure,
Static.
He's pumped.
Yeah.
I bet.
Fired up. Let's go.
All right, still giving away.
As fired up as you, though.
We're giving away another set, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
9 o'clock out.
All right, join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMVs. Our pal Barry Zverluga from the Washington Post. Barry recently wrote about how he believes DC needs a better deal in this whole RFK deal.
Big stick in the mud, this Barry's from.
And EB posited that you were calling out JP Finley and Grant Paulson in your article specifically, though you didn't use their last name.
That's
what
true.
Say you, Barry?
I'm guilty as charged on that one, man. Like, little subtle kind of pulling back, being a stick in the mud, getting against all the cheerleading. I just think... I mean, we don't have to talk about this long, but I kind of feel like there's a time for celebrating this deal, and that's when it's done, not before it's done. Like, this feels like a starting point with the council is going to push back on the mayor. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a stadium at the RFK site. It felt like she held the victory party before there was a victory.
Well, I'm sure she did it for a reason. You know, they're all calculated. But let me just say for the record, I generally agree with your sentiment, on the whole, that, like, you know, we can't just spend for stuff all the time. It's got to come from somewhere. It comes from the taxpayers. And I think we all agree the government spends too much money. Most people think that. So, yeah, I mean, somebody's got to be smart about it. But hopefully they figure it out. Do you think at the end of the day they will figure it out, though?
I do, yeah. I mean, it only takes 7 votes, and they've got 4 solid yeses and some maybes amongst them. I feel like... You know, the yeses, the maybes will become yeses when the deal tilts a little bit away from the Commanders and toward the citizens of the district. I mean, I think people are a little bit distracted by the extremely large number of $2.7 billion that Josh Harris and his group is putting in and looking away from the really, really large number of $1 billion plus that would come from the district. Like, they're trying to say the percentage of public money is small compared to other stadiums, and that's true, but the actual dollar amount is second amongst NFL stadiums that have opened since 2009, only trailing the Tennessee Titans project that's insanely funded by public money. So I think it's a discussion. I think we're in the middle of the discussion, and we're just anybody who thinks this is done is not really paying attention.
You know, this is certainly above our pay grade, and I'm not even sure I can articulate my question. But, like, you know, when they say, okay, it's going to cost this, but it's going to bring this kind of revenue in, can they articulate how the residents who pay for this will see that benefit? Like, if they could say, hey, this amount of money is going to go back into the public schools, the money that we generate, then it's a little bit more palatable, right? if you knew where the money that you allege is coming in is going to come back to us in some measure.
Agreed. And like, what's the kind of balance scale there that would tip the thing in the favor of a resident of the District of Columbia? And, you know, as we know, living here, this is such a unique place because the district and its 700,000 residents don't have a state government to also supply some of the funds that, you know, if you build a stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts or Nashville, Tennessee, you know, you can get public dollars from more than one source. And it's also going to draw in people. Like, that's why I said Grant from Virginia and JP from Maryland, because they're both, and I love both those guys. I'm not against them. I'm poking fun at them. Like, people from Maryland and people from Virginia can sit there and say, oh, this is great. It's going to RFK. Like, yeah. I have all these romantic notions about it, and they're not paying a dime for it.
Right,
so, and that doesn't make me, it's just the logistics of our region. It's very, very strange that these three separate, very separate jurisdictions have a vested interest in this one thing that only one of those entities is going to pay for.
Are you live in the district, correct?
Capitol Hill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So are you, have you kind of figured out or done the math on how much your taxes will increase? Have you talked to people about that?
Zero idea. I really don't know. And that's kind of part of like why I feel like we're in the middle of this. And also, Jason, some of it is taxes on businesses. And so what is the business community who thought that they were going to stop paying this ballpark tax that originated from Nationals Park, but, you know, which opened in 2008 and the tax came in when they made the deal in late 2004, early 2005 to bring the Nationals here? Like, that was supposed to expire. And I don't know, and I haven't done the reporting, so I'm not going to say businesses are up in arms. But, you know, if you're a small business or a middle-sized business or a large business in the district, and you expected that tax to go away in a couple of years, are you just going to roll along with the idea that you're going to continue to pay it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Barry, is it a coincidence? Is there a link with this supposed announcement today that DC is going to host the draft? Does that put more pressure, give the city more leverage, et cetera? Or is it just a complete coincidence?
I think it's a coincidence in one way, that it's just like DC was probably going to get a draft whether there was a stadium deal in place or not. I think that the thing that ties it together, a term sheet for a stadium deal and the draft being granted to DC for 2027, is that, I mean, Josh Harris's ownership tenure is different than Dan Snyder's. Like, so much stuff is more available to you. People will deal with you because you are an upstanding member of the NFL community. You are an upstanding member of the local community, the district and Virginia and Maryland. Like, all things are possible because Dan Snyder doesn't own the team anymore. And that's kind of a broken record, but we keep getting, you know, data points that reinforce that they're going to have a draft on the National Mall, which, I'm sorry, Detroit, I'm sorry, Green Bay, like, this is an iconic scene. Like, that's awesome for DC. And also, Eric, like, you know, it's just a one-off, right? Like, it's 3 days, or maybe they make it a whole week. That's a lot different than saying, like, we're going to put the 65,000 seat stadium in a neighborhood in your city. This is an event. But, you know, what other events could the district hold if that stadium happens? Like, you guys have talked about it, Final Fours, like concerts, like all that kind of
stuff. The Olympics. I mean, you know, it's limitless almost.
Well, and I mean, I think it's terrible that there's a domestic World Cup next year. I'm not a huge soccer guy, but there's a domestic World Cup next year, and Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, it should be in consideration to host the title game. Like, the thing that everybody in the world watches, and it's just like, no, they're not part of, you know, that would change if that stadium's out there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, once you put a new stadium out there, I mean, you're getting the Super Bowl, you're getting World Cup, you're getting a ton of events. Now, I don't know if you're going to get 200 a year, like they said.
200's a joke.
I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean, you might get some office parties if you want to add those, but you're not going to get 200.
I mean, I looked at the calendar for, like, MetLife in New York and Jerry World down in Dallas just to see. And they have, you know, there are things like in Texas, you can have these big rodeo fests and stuff like that. But literally one of the things on their calendar was a blood drive. Like, mm-hmm. does that count as 200, one of the 200 events?
Apparently it does.
I call Pinocchio's on that one.
Now, if it got really bad, would you move out of the city? Have you thought about that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I've endured the pandemic, like
okay,
things got
stay.
Rough right. in the neighborhood. Yeah. And I'm not adamant, like no stadium. I think it could be kind of cool. I mean, I was the, you know, Nats beat writer almost walking to RFK from my house when things were there every night. I think it's kind of cool to provide some juice to the neighborhood. And I like the idea of the Washington NFL team being in Washington, DC. I think the deal needs to tilt a little bit more toward the people who live here.
All right. So did you have another draft question? I'm sorry.
No.
I was going to switch to the Caps.
Yeah, I was going to say, Barry can talk about everything.
Let's switch to the Caps. I don't know how Cakes feels. He's usually pretty overly confident.
I'll tell you how I feel. I feel a little bit disrespected that the Hurricanes are the favorites, not only in game one, but in the entire series. I feel like that's disrespect to the one seed. And I know playoff hockey can go sideways. Just look at last night's Winnipeg
Blues.
Jets, St. Louis Blues game. But I'm feeling disrespect heading into this series. I don't know about you, Barry.
Barry, I told him that Vegas has the Hurricanes as -150 to win the series. That's a pretty significant number.
That seems high.
Yeah.
I mean, Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, obviously, you know, Vegas just sets a number and they want to get bets on both sides, but they clearly feel like the Hurricanes are the best team. They didn't make the Caps -150. So the Hurricanes scare me. They just do. And I don't know a ton about hockey. I mean, I know a little bit, but the Hurricanes as a team, they just scare me. They're well coached. They play, they're sound. You know, I think that they're not great on the power play offensively, but they're great on the kill. So this might be a shootout series, but man, Hurricanes scare me.
I think it's like even money, toss a coin, and I
might be right. Yeah,
I get what Cakes is saying, like, and I feel like that fits the kind of overarching theme of the Caps season. Like they underwent a major roster overhaul last summer, a summer after they had to win a tight game in the 82nd game of the season just to get into the playoffs and be swept by the Rangers. And I felt like going into the season, everybody was like, oh, it's that same Caps team that struggled to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. And they didn't give Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick credit for not only changing the roster, but changing it in an extremely well-thought-out, planned way in which they checked every box that was on their board. And I think, Cakes, what's happened is it felt like everybody else, the hockey cognoscenti in Toronto and Canada has kind of looked at this whole cap season as kind of fluky, which mm-hmm. after 82 regular season games in which they were the best team in the Eastern Conference and Ovechkin's passed Gretzky to be the all-time goal scorer and five tight but successful games for them in the playoffs, it seems, I don't want to be homerish, and I'm not saying they're going to win the series, but it does feel like they're not getting the respect for who they are and how they've played. They are a very, very solid team. I mean, Jason, you're right. Like, is Carolina solid? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think in Raleigh, they're probably waking up and being like, well, this Caps team can roll four lines at you, and they still have Ovechkin on the power play, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is a really good two-way center, and their defensive pairings it really makes sense, even though, you know, they've got a major injury there.
And we got one of the best goalies in the league.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. Spencer Carberry said the other day at practice, like, when two teams know each other this well and they're this evenly matched, the three things that will decide it are goaltending, and Logan Thompson's playing great. Special teams, so what you mentioned about, you know, how do the Caps break through against a very good penalty kill, and how does their own kill do against the Canes power play? And then secondary scoring, which is, you know, not the Ovechkin, Wilson, you know, the top lines with Strom and those guys, but down the lineup, do you get Duhaime goals like you did in the Montreal series? Like, do those third and fourth lines produce some unexpected offense? Like, you're playing in the margins here, and I think it would be surprising if this, it was really good for them to get rid of Canadians in five games, I'd be shocked if this series didn't go six or seven.
Hey, Barry, you mentioned the front office and the job that they've done to put this team around Ovi. It wasn't just celebrate Ovi as he chases Gretzky. You know, like, this is a team that was the top team in the East. The moves that they've made, they've just been hitting home run after home run, going back to signing Strome off the street a few years ago, trading for Chychrun, Bevilier at the trade deadline. And you touched on a name that the Capitals were mocked for trading for this guy, Luke Dubois. He has been awesome. And people were like, he's a cancer in the clubhouse. He wears that as welcome. I don't know if it's just that he came to the right place because this is a really close-knit team, a close-knit group that Carberry has kind of assembled. But, man, the personnel moves have been, like, on point for this team.
Yeah, and, you know, to get Pierre-Luc Dubois, they traded Darcy Kempner, who is a Vezina finalist. So this is a trade that worked out for both sides. But I would say, Cakes, that Dubois and any sort of cancerous stuff, like, what's happened in Washington is that and I don't like to overuse the word culture when it comes to a team, but, like, that you entered that locker room and you have to fit into what they have established. You're not going to come in and throw elbows and be like, no, I do it my way, because, you know, Nick Backstrom and TJ Oshie and Alex Ovechkin and John Carlson over the years have put into place a very, very businesslike but fun organization. So I think a guy like Dubois, who has all sorts of talent, but has been, you know, bumped around from place to place, comes in and has no choice really but to fit in. And then, I mean, I give him credit because Carberry will tell you, like, he wants to match up against the toughest line to match up with on the other team. And he was the one taking the Suzuki line in the Canadian series. That was a really, really important matchup for defensively for Washington. And he embraces it. It's not just about how many assists he has and how much offense his line produced, and he can produce. Like, he made a high end pass to Chychrun to score a goal in the deciding game against Montreal, but he'll go two ways and set a tone that way. And it's just, that's one of a litany of really, really solid moves that they made in the offseason.
I don't feel like, and I'm not talking about you, Barry. I'm talking about the four of us. I don't feel like we give Chris Patrick enough credit. We don't say his name enough. And I don't know what his role is compared to McClellan. I know McClellan is the director of hockey ops. But Patrick's the GM, and he's only been the GM a couple years. And in the last 2 years, this is when the roster's gotten really good. I feel like Chris Patrick had to have had a ton to do with that. That's just my gut.
So I would say that,
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, they are really good about saying how collaborative they are, and really, like, it's a entire front office
right
effort. But I just logistically, Patrick didn't become the GM until after all these offseason moves this past summer. So okay. this was really McClellan's.
So it was all BMAC. All right.
Well, I mean, it was them together, and then Chris moved in. But I, you know, I was at a game at some point during the year and saw Chris, and I was like, nice team you put together here. And he was like, thanks. Mac did everything. All I have to do is put on a suit. So really, this next coming off season is Chris's first in the big chair, and this trade deadline was his first in the big chair. So he gets credit on Bevilier and being. What a good fit that is, a guy who can play up and down the lineup to the point where Protas comes back in, a guy who's been in the top six forwards all year, and you're like, no, we can't move Bevilier off the Strome and Ovechkin line because he's been too good there. Like, really, really solid on the cheap pickup.
Real quick, last thing, do you think the 6 days will be good? I think it'll be good for the Caps, 6 days off.
Yeah, I think so too. And the Canes are really in a similar boat, just one day later.
Right.
So, you know, you can't say there's an imbalance there. But at this time of year, with how hard these games are, how physically taxing they are, I think, you know, rest for, you know, like a John Carlson or an Alex Ovechkin in particular is a very, very good thing.
All right, Barry, good stuff. It's Barry Zvierluga from the Washington Post. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Barry.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. And remember, still have Caps tickets to give away later this hour.
Jason, you should put on your headphones. Heavy Metal Chris is playing one of your faves. He's playing it just for you.
Ugh.
There we go.
Ozzy? Is that Ozzy?
No, this is old school Judas Priest.
Oh, it's Judas.
Yeah, it's one of your faves.
You love to break the law.
Ozzy, Judas Priest are all one and the same.
Oh, how dare you? That is heresy. Heavy metal, Chris.
But my daughter will be watching Metallica in 2 days.
Very good.
I think they're going to open with Enter Sandman and close with Enter Sandman.
Oh, they're going to do both?
They should.
Oh, I don't think so.
So just close?
Aren't they doing the no repeat bit?
Don't know.
I think they're doing it because they're doing two nights at most of the stadiums. So they're not playing the same set list.
They're not.
So they're only doing one night at Lane Stadium.
I think they're just doing one.
Okay,
yeah.
So open and close with Enter Sandman? That seems extreme.
Bush League.
I don't think that's going to happen.
They're above that.
I think that's the closer.
That'll be the closer.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those college students don't know any other songs from Metallica besides
Enter
Sandman. Some
might. They probably
don't. Not many, believe me. Believe me, they don't.
Okay.
They start playing Unforgiven. They'll recognize it. Some of the others.
There's a handful.
Okay.
But they're going to play for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But aren't the college students just a small portion of the crowd that's going to that? I think a lot of it is
probably.
People from the, you know, who live there.
What is Lane maybe hold? 60,000 plus?
They sold plenty of it.
There'll be a lot of college kids there.
Yeah.
Hey, remember.
And they're only there to see Enter Sandman.
Coming up later this hour, we have tickets to the Capitals playoff game tomorrow night. So stay tuned for that. But right now, let's open up the entertainment page.
That's right, Ricky, driven by BMW. Fairfax, D.C.'s only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager, so she'll set you up with a Sully sales assistant. Of course, you can check out their entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at BMWFairfax.com.
Let me just interject this. We also have Metallica tickets to give away this hour.
Yes, we do.
So we've got Caps tickets and Metallica tickets. Stay tuned for that.
All right. I can't remember because when Kevin comes on, I mean, he's a nice kid, but my brain shuts down. what did he preview Thunderbolts?
Yeah.
Yes.
He did.
Gave it a 4.5.
Half. It did $76 million.
I think that's a pretty good
haul. Pretty good number for that
like
movie. That
you
Disney
also tuned
movie?
Out because it was a new Marvel movie.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. Not interested in movies, really. Sinners finished second. That did $33 million in its third week so far. It's made $179 million. Who's in Sinners?
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan plays two characters. I believe he plays Smoke and he plays Stack.
And what is it about?
The twin brothers.
What's
vampires
that descend on?
See, this is why I'm not into movies.
He gave that a 5.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be excellent.
I got no interest in either of those.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not interested in what they do now. I might be interested in The Accountant too, but it looks like it's bombing at the box
Valdez
office.
Valdez said it sucked.
It did nine. Lost 61% of its audience so far in 2 weeks with freaking Ben Affleck starring, and who's the other guy?
John Bernthal,
well-known actor. It's only made $41 million. It looks like a big bust.
I think that's kind of a dud.
So I think I
always found accounting boring. movies about it.
I know, but somehow they made it interesting the first go around.
I'd like to give you a recap, but I tried and I fell on my face. I can't.
Well, did you take accounting three times?
All right. To go back to my college days, I took accounting three times. Passed on the third.
So wait, you failed it twice.
Hey, I
think horses got you beat.
I don't quit. But then
you kind of did.
Then I took accounting 2, and I passed that the first time. I might have had some outside help.
How can you struggle with accounting? Isn't it just like you're add and subtract?
I'm not a numbers guy.
I never took accounting. No, but how could it possibly be hard?
There was a lot of rules to it.
How could it possibly
be hard? I took it in 1988 or 89, so I don't really remember that much.
You fill out a spreadsheet?
I think we had spreadsheets back in
how could it be hard?
Hey, it was
clearly
hard.
It was hard for him. He changed his major
it's
after
hard
that.
For me, yeah, with the mass comm. Biggest joke major ever.
All right. Paid off. Paid
it
dividends,
did,
cakes.
We avoid politics on this show. I'm avoiding politics right here, but I am butt-sized that they're talking about reopening Alcatraz. I've been to Alcatraz.
You're excited for that?
I think it's awesome.
How much would it cost to open that
thing? I don't
know.
I think it doesn't seem plausible to me from afar because it was probably revolutionary, 70 years ago, whenever it had its heyday.
It's been closed.
It's been closed for at least 20 years or something.
Oh, I think
at least.
longer than that.
I walked around the grounds of it. I did the whole Alcatraz tour. It's such a small little place. Like, I don't even know how they could be that impactful. The prison I like the idea of it.
It closed in 1963.
Yeah. Oh, so geez. 70 years ago.
How many people escaped?
Oh, I'm not sure many really pulled it off.
Wasn't the whole thing that nobody ever escaped from Alcatraz?
Yeah, there might have been one or two that pulled it off, but you know, they had the shark infested waters and it was so freaking cold, and the current, you sleep on the current.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't do it.
What about Shawshank? Can you open that back up?
I don't know.
I am all in on making Alcatraz silly. Just having been there, just
seems like such a waste. It holds like...
It doesn't hold many people.
Like 200 inmates. You're going to spend $1 billion renovating that thing. Think of all the pipes and everything.
I like the idea of it.
I know, it's fun.
I like the idea of it. I don't like government waste. So if they determine it's stupid, fine, don't do it.
Why don't they put up a hotel?
What?
What if they put a hotel there?
A hotel?
It could probably do pretty well.
Well, if they were putting a prison.
A total of 36 prisoners made 14 escape attempts. Two men trying twice. 23 were caught alive.
Yeah.
Six were shot and killed during their escapes.
Yeah.
Two drowned, and five are listed as missing and presumed drowned.
Yeah. What about the guy that jumped out, the D.B. Cooper? Has there been any resolution on that guy that jumped out with the parachute? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't think I don't think he's ever been found, has he?
Wait, I feel like lately there's been more and more interest in that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't tell.
There's been more interest, really?
I feel like there has been.
He's probably expired either way.
Yeah, he's probably no longer with
us. Oh, for sure. I just would love to know if he made it or not.
He disappeared in 1971.
Remember I told you that I've seen, you know, when I go to these volleyball tournaments, especially nationals, you see everybody. You see so many hoopers. I see Jared Jeffries all the time.
Okay.
When I'm out. But, you know, he's Jared Jeffries. Nobody cares.
Taunt him? Because wasn't he on the team that the Terps beat in the title game?
No, I don't bring it up.
You don't bring that up?
I think about it.
Wizard Jared Jeffries.
But I saw Kevin Garnett a couple years ago. I think it was in Chicago. And I told you, he just looked like a mean.
So unapproachable. Yeah.
He looked so unapproachable.
Doesn't want to talk to you.
Sunglasses indoors.
Yeah.
He just
Cakes
grumpy.
And I played softball with him.
Yeah, we
grumpy.
Did. That's true.
I'm not surprised when I see this on TMZ. Kevin Garnett, heated argument with girlfriend, cops called.
Ooh.
Kevin Garnett and his girlfriend were involved in a heated argument, and cops were called to the scene. Law enforcement sources told TMZ that Garnett's partner, Tier Candelier, what a name, dialed 911 just before 2 a.m. to report that she and Garnett had been involved in a domestic dispute at their Los Angeles area residence. When they arrived, Garnett had left, but they nonetheless took a report. Candelier did refuse medical aid after they asked if she needed it.
No, the cops should have been called to that softball game JP was talking about for some of the dirty swings that some of those pro ballers had. I think Jerry Stackhouse had a gross softball swing from what I remember.
Yeah.
None of them were very good.
No. Well, you know, I remember this is dating us, but back in Camden Yards in the early years, remember when they had the home run contest with like all the guys?
Wasn't Patrick Ewing in that?
Patrick Ewing was in it. Well, abysmal. Michael Jordan was abysmal. And he ended up, I think, after that playing pro ball.
Right.
Of course.
He hit
203.
But he was much better later. But you would never have
guessed. I don't remember him in that contest.
By the way, I wanted to ask Barry when we had Barry on, but we ran out of time, if I was a little bit ahead of the curve on the Dylan Cruz like eyebrow raising.
Oh, now you're back to bashing Dylan Cruz.
For 2 weeks ago, you were all over.
No, I just said, listen, it looks like he's doing great. He had hit in like 12 out of 13 games, bunch of multi-hit games. But now, before last night, I think he was 0 for 23. Yep. Back under
he's
sub 200.
Ton of Ks.
He's just, and I think Mark Zuckerman reported that he's a big over. He's got as many hits as you do with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, he's... He had a streak, and we thought, he's turning
the
corner.
Here's what I'm willing to say.
He's gonna be sent down.
Where do you stand on him? Because you are moving all over the place.
I know. I'm just trying to be graceful and not be a jerk. But here's where I do stand on him officially. Just write this down, May 5th. He ain't no superstar. I promise you that. So he might have a long career, but he might just be a Joe Journeyman. Dylan Cruz... Sorry, Mike. not a superstar. Well, not number two, like, not a superstar. I'm pretty sure of that. Pretty good outfielder, pretty good base runner. Yeah, you hit the ball hard every once in a while at a guy. He ain't no superstar. James Wood, potential superstar. See it right away. Dylan Cruz, not a superstar. Sorry. Anybody want
to
argue?
I'm willing to give him a little more time. That's fair. He hasn't had a lot of seasoning in the pros.
Superstar, I mean, well, you could say that
he's
for,
not James
you could
Wood,
say that for
that.
A ton of prospects. You could say that for all the prospects.
I'm just saying. The number two overall pick pretty much be a star. How about star? Not a star.
So an all-star, multiple all-star.
Oh, no chance. 0.0.
I mean, right now.
Does that need leave any doubt where I stand?
If he's an all-star, then.
Then I'll, I'm not going to say anything crazy. Right? I'll eat my hat or something. Like, I'm not, you know.
But how many of these guys are superstars that were the number two pick in the draft? This is the last 10. I'll rip through them.
Just
Marcus,
say star.
Marcus
say
Stroman. Fine. Aaron Nola.
Okay.
Fine.
No, Nola's.
Nola's
he's
been
legit.
A beast at times.
Luis Severino. Not a superstar. Kerstad, who's with the Orioles. Jack Leiter. Drew Jones. Hunter Green. Bobby Witt Jr.
Well, there's two mega stars right there.
Bobby Witt. Legit.
And Hunter Green.
Bobby Witt's going to the Hall of Fame.
Listen, I'm sorry. If you're drafted you're projected. You may not pan out. You're projected to be a star.
But for the most part, I'd say 70% of those are not superstars.
Right. Well, if you're going to include Green, Witt Jr., Paul Skeens. He was number one.
Yeah, because Cruz was right behind him.
Yeah, I don't know why they listed it number two.
Paul Skeens was the
right.
Yeah.
So Drab, so now you know where I stand.
All right.
Is that
like
fair?
It. All right.
Yeah. Not a star.
You don't see all star in him.
How could you?
A lot of people like cakes. You need some more seasoning.
He had a 14-game stretch where he was silly.
He had 12 out of 13. I saw a couple of them that were number hits. But last year was a big indicator, I thought. You know, I freaking hit 150, .150 last year.
He played a ton of baseball last year, man.
And that's Mike's answer is it always takes him a while to adjust to each level.
Right.
But he's probably got at least 250 now major league at-bats. That's, you know, he's probably got half of.
Yeah, I would say that.
Right?
So he's got
a third of a season under his belt in his career. We'll see.
Look, if he struggles the entire year and he hits .210 and he's got 170 strikeouts, okay, I might be with you, but you got to give him a lot of time.
Well, that's anybody can make that call. I'm making a call now. I'm putting my Bozak on the table right here, Cakes. Not a star.
Okay, you are putting it out
there. He might be a 10-year player, but he ain't no star.
Hey, we've been talking about Metallica right now. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with two tickets to Metallica. M72 tour with special guest Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies. That's Wednesday, May 28th at Northwest Stadium. For tickets and more event info, you can visit thefandc.com/events. You'll win those two tickets. So give us a call now at 800-636-1067. Let me tell you about Surfside. Look, there's only one thing better than Surfside in baseball, and that's Surfside iced teas and lemonades plus vodka on the golf course. That's right. It's golf season, and there's no better drink to enjoy on the golf course. It's light, refreshing, made with real vodka and real brewed tea. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. So that means no carbonation. Cheers to hitting the fairway, and cheers to Surfside. It's tea time. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. All right, we still have Caps tickets to give away. Stay tuned for your chance to win tickets to game one of round two of the playoffs. Caps and Hurricanes. You know, early in the show, we did the Junkie Sports page, but a couple of tidbits that we didn't get to. And I don't know if you were going to put this in your sports page. Jason edits his sports page. He's the editor-in-chief.
I am.
Justin Tucker apparently still working out at Baltimore's training facility. Kind of find this fascinating. The whole world has turned against Justin Tucker.
He's not getting the hints.
They drafted Tyler Coop in the 6th round, but Tucker said he's approaching it as a football competition. They might have drafted him even without these massage allegations. Because he was 22 for 30 last year and wasn't the typical Justin Tucker. He wasn't reliable. But, man, you want to talk about, you know how you were talking about joning on a kid that we grew up with because he didn't have eyebrows. Mm-hmm. What do you think Justin Tucker faces every time he's in the building? He's in the weight room with the other guys.
That's so toxic of a topic, though. I don't know that that's going to be
a tough one to bring up.
That's
with
a hard
your, with
one
your
to bring
teammates.
Up in the facility, yeah.
Like, if it were, if that dynamic existed in this room, we'd probably be bringing it up, but I don't think it happens in the Ravens' weight room.
I think some things are so awkward and uncomfortable.
Maybe we wouldn't bring it up
but maybe people just don't even talk to him, or like it's just weird.
It's weird that they haven't said, "Hey, listen, pal,
we got to move on.
We're going to probably have to move on." So maybe
because they're afraid of a lawsuit or something. I don't know.
I mean, he's convicted of anything.
Look what Washington did.
What do you mean? How Washington they just released the guy right away? Yeah.
Yeah. Now McManus doesn't have the reputation.
Right. So that's the thing. He had such a good reputation before, too, off the field.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if I'm Justin Tucker, I might do the same thing because I don't want to present like I'm guilty of something. I just want to present.
He's been pretty adamant he's not.
Yeah.
A lot of massage therapists.
He could just be a premature person, and is young and naive, didn't describe some of the alleged things he was doing. They might be adding on. Sometimes people make allegations. They might be thinking it's weird that he must have. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
he might have just been a premature like a cakes.
You didn't bring this up in your EP. I don't know if this is an EP thing, but. Yeah. Warren Buffett's retiring.
Well, he's 94.
He said he was never going to retire.
Who works till they're 94 years old?
I tell you, for 94, he's pretty freaking sharp. I saw a little of that press conference.
He looks good. I think for a 94-year-old.
And you know what he brags about? He and his buddy who passed away a couple years ago.
Charlie Munger,
he's like, we never really took our health that seriously. We never really exercised. And here I am, you know,
he's 94.
He's basically sharp as a tack.
I mean, isn't he slugging like Cokes and Dairy Queen all the time? Because he's investing in those companies.
He's kind of flaunting the fact that he didn't really care about health.
He made it to 94. He's doing something right.
Meanwhile, most other people are trying their best, failing, but trying their best to be somewhat healthy. He didn't even care. He lived to 94. Silly.
Good genes, I guess.
Genes.
He hit the genetic lotto. Right.
Apparently so.
That's what he did.
Right. And the portfolio lotto, too. Both.
Yeah, but I'll never forget that his daughter, she was a grown woman. He wouldn't even help her redo her kitchen.
Right,
he's a miser. It's kind of like Jason. He's taking lessons from Jason Bishop.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I think it must be, except for my kids, it must be tremendously humbling to ask your parents for money when you get to be older, right? My kids don't seem to have an issue with it.
Well, I think you're talking about when the kids are like 40 or 50.
All right, it's a little different. But if my friggin' dad was Warren Buffett, I'd be like, come on,
hook me. I mean, you're worth $100 billion.
Give me a new sub, zero.
But I'm guessing most wealthy fathers and grandfathers do take care of their kids and their grandkids.
They probably set aside
Buffett just might be a different breed.
Could be.
He definitely is. It seems he's a different
breed. He gave them charitable trust that they have to give away within 10 years. He just gave them $600 million worth of stock for their charitable foundation.
Not for them.
So there's got to be a way they could scam some out of that.
Yeah. I'm sure they got a little something.
Would be like, all right, they can
maybe they got
maybe
something else.
Million,
so
but
we just
I'm taking $100 million of this.
Hey, in 3 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win those Caps tickets for game two. You know, you mentioned the Kentucky Derby earlier. Mike Tirico was supposed to be on the call. Did you see why he wasn't on the call?
Yes.
Did not.
What happened?
He's got a nut allergy.
He does.
Ooh. He started the broadcast, and then in the middle of it, he had to punch out.
I watched it in a restaurant. I don't know who called it. Who called it?
I watched it with people, too, so I don't know.
I didn't recognize the name.
I watched it. I was out in public somewhere, too, Jason. I can't remember where the hell I was.
Ahmed Farid?
Dude.
Yeah.
Jumped in to take his place.
Ahmed Farid.
Does Mike Maher have a peanut allergy?
I don't know. Does he?
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Oh, you are.
It's kind of soft.
Yeah, I get so much flack for that.
Yeah.
What's the worst? Have you ever had like a seizure or anything because of it? Or
no, I had an EpiPen when I was growing up, but I never really had a bad reaction like that. But my friends have slipped me peanuts before. see if I'm still, you know, allergic to it.
On purpose, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's not cool.
I mean, it's not a good bit, but it's
so
happened.
What happens?
It's
happened a handful of times. Do your lips like swell up?
No, it's like my breathing gets a little heavy, but nothing like super to be concerned about. It's just butt annoying,
you know,
for like 2 hours.
This is tragic. He doesn't know how silly a Reese's peanut butter cup is.
Nope.
He has no idea.
My boys just bought back at the house some Reese's Puffs the other day and were trying to get me to have a bowl.
You know,
I was
right.
Like, that's not happening.
You can't do it. Hey, you'll freaking die.
You know how good a Reese's peanut butter cup is when you put it in the freezer and then you take it out and you just bite into the middle of it? Mm-hmm. So good. You'll never experience that.
Can't they, some people, haven't they found that they can kind of transition them to peanuts like slowly?
I think so.
Peanut on their back or something.
It's not a peanut allergy, but I saw my wife have the anaphylactic seizure or whatever after touching penicillin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she hadn't had that in like 30 years. We didn't have an EpiPen, and she thought she was going to die.
Right.
She was like, I can't breathe, and mm-hmm. had all kinds of, you know, hives and all this crazy stuff.
It's not something to mess with. But I do think some think they can, some of these, if it's not too severe, you could kind of slowly get out of it.
This is from Bob Goo. 25% of children experiencing a peanut allergy will outgrow it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mike Moore
is part of the 75% who couldn't.
Hey, right now, caller number 9. Call us now at 800-636-1067, and you're going to win tickets to round 2, home game 1 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals. Tuesday, May 6th, that's tomorrow, against Carolina at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com. You know, we always pump the tickets. Okay. They're not sold out already.
I'm gonna
for second round of the playoffs.
It's probably pretty close.
Not a sellout.
It's probably pretty close.
Sold out, but they're just getting,
there might be 1,000 left, a couple thousand.
They're just giving you tickets from their stash.
Yeah, they got a stash.
You know, giveaways.
Got you, but they're also promoting people to buy tickets.
Yeah. Okay.
Want that building full for game 1.
You got to match the Bell Center.
You know what?
The best hockey atmosphere.
I don't even think about the Bell Center. You know why? Because those losers,
you're trying to tweet
those
cakes,
losers have gone home for the spring and the summer.
It still works.
Get after it,
bye,
cakes.
Losers in Montreal.
We got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next here on The Fan.